2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be done with this for too long here. We ain't got long to go. Let's read verses 11 through 14. Now, some of these verses we read last week. Now, I'm going to preach on the same thing, but we're going to pick up there and go on with it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Amen. Yeah, that's wonderful to me. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." All right. Last week we talked about what really matters. Now, this week we're just going to talk about what he's warning us to do here. Diligently prepare. We know this is coming. We know the end is coming. We know where we're all headed into in the future. And so we need to prepare diligently for it. All right? Let's pray again. Lord, I pray you'd help me and give me energy that I don't have. Pray you would bless the Word of God in order to have free course, and help us, Lord, to speak clearly. And I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind here and thought. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now the end of all things is laid before us in these verses here, and we're exhorted to prepare for it. It'll be an awesome and overwhelming calamity that'll come upon all the world. You know, this thing's a big deal. The way this is all going to wind up, it's big. It's fantastic. I mean, it's overwhelming, the powers that are going to be shaken. And what's going to happen here, I mean, everything's going to burn up. Everything's going to melt. The heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved with all the works that are therein. We talked about that last week, all the works. Who's done all these works? Well, men with their hands and their minds, and everything that man's ever done is going to be burned up, dissolved. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. There'll be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There'll be no place for us in that new heavens and new earth if we're not righteous. Wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. What's heaven? Who is heaven a home for? The righteous. It's what we talked about this morning. And it's a big deal, this stuff about being righteous, about doing righteousness. The eternity is described that way. Heaven is the home of the righteous. There's a new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not sin, not wickedness, not people that don't do righteousness, never did. If we do not diligently prepare for this future event that is certain to come, it's certain to come to pass, just as it's as certain as God is in heaven, this is going to happen. If we don't prepare for it, we'll be cast into outer darkness, out of the presence of God and the presence of the righteous forever. So we got to prepare. Don't believe any kind of story, any kind of preaching, any kind of doctrine, anything that anybody tells you that where you don't have to do nothing. Where they make everything works, makes me sick, makes me angry for them to make works out of our responsibility. It sends people to hell. You need to understand that. This heresy of calling everything works, repentance works. I've even heard them go as far as to say believing is works. So if that's true, then you don't have to do nothing. I mean, just sit tight. If you're one of the chosen, lucky you. If you're not, too bad. Ain't nothing you can do about it anyway. No, that's not the way it is. Whosoever will may come. All right. Now, first of all, we are told to be found of Him in peace. Now think about that. When He comes, what's He going to find us doing? Fighting? Better not. Let us be found of Him in peace. As much as lieth in you, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, pastor can't be a brawler. Deacon can't be a brawler. Can't be somebody that's just out fighting and picking a fight and always in trouble with other people all the time. Can't do that. You don't want to be that way. To find ourselves without a world to live in or a heaven to look up to and be at odds with God would be the ultimate disaster for our soul. Think about that. It's all gone. In an instant, it's all gone. You ain't got no earth to stand on. You ain't got no heaven to look up to. There's just God. And that's all that's going to matter is, are you at peace with Him? Were you at peace with Him before this happened? Because that's what matters. We got to be diligent to make sure that we're at peace with God here and now. That means to know for certain that God doesn't have anything against us. Brother Rice used to always say, keep short accounts with God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Make sure you're right with God. Confess your sin. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. You need to make sure that you're on good terms with God, that He doesn't have aught against you. Because that's the way you want to be found of Him when all this happens. And it could happen at any second. It means to know for certain that we're not harboring aught against God in our hearts. You aren't, are you? Are you questioning God and blaming God? Are you got sore at God because things haven't happened to you just like you think they ought to? You think God's give you the short end of the stick in life? Better not feel that. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things. Persecutions. In tumults. I mean, in everything. Give thanks. Be thankful. It means that we don't live under the condemnation of a guilty conscience because of sins that we've not forsaken. To be at peace with God, you gotta be right with God. You have to have forsaken your sin, confessed your sin of today, you know. I mean, up to date. You don't want to be found of God and you're not taking care of things for 2 or 3 months like we do other things. Our bookwork and stuff, we'll let it pile and pile and pile, and better not do that with our relationship with God. We better make sure everything's up to date. To be at peace with God means we can assure our hearts before Him and come before Him with confidence. To be at peace with God means that when we are finally in His presence, it'll be like a wonderful reunion of dear family and friends or loved ones who've long to see one another for a long time. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it ought to be when He finds us, when He comes. That's the way we ought to be found when He comes. It ought to be like a joyous reunion instead of a dread and a fear. It'll not be a dreaded meeting if we're truly at peace with God. There's a lot of people that's kind of, you know, it's a controversial thing. It's another one of those doctrines, like we were talking about this morning, where they've made the judgment seat of Christ something awful. And I don't believe it's going to be that way. I believe if you're right with God, it's something you're looking forward to. Paul was. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he was looking forward to it. He wasn't looking at it in dread. He wasn't afraid to die and face God in his weakness and failure and all of that. No, he said, I fought a good fight. I've done the best I could. I've kept the faith. I've done what he charged me to do. I've done everything he gave me the opportunity to do. So I'm ready to be offered. That's the way you ought to be. That's the way you ought to live your life. That's why you ought to go to bed every night. I was thinking the other day, I don't know why I'm going to say it, but we was talking about that, and I remember my grandma telling me whenever we were fixing to get married, I remember that's what she told me. She said, don't ever let the sun go down. Don't ever go to bed mad at one another. I think that's the way she put it. Don't let the sun go down. It was something from, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's a Bible verse. But don't ever do that. Settle things before you go to sleep at night. Yeah, that's my grandma told me that. Yeah, it is. It's good advice. And it's good advice for you in your relationship with God. You better go to bed right with God and at peace with God, that we may be found in of Him in peace. Yes, sir. It'll not be a dreaded meeting if we're really at peace with God. It'll be a happy reunion. We must apply ourselves diligently to this task here, being ready. Not be lazy about it. Not be apathetic, unconcerned about it. We're told to be found in that day without spot. That's what the verse said that we read. We're to apply ourselves diligently to this task also without spot. It's our responsibility to make sure that our mind and our heart are not spotted by the world. Keep your heart pure. Keep your mind pure. Not spotted. Not spotted. Without spot. A spot. What is it? Well, it's a mark on a substance made by foreign matter. A spot. A speck, a blot, a stain, a place discolored. Now, he's not talking about your body, because if he is, we're in trouble. We've all got spots all over us. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your soul, your heart. A stain on character or reputation. Something that soils purity, disgrace, reproach, fault, blemish. Now that's what he's talking about. Without spot. It's something that's visible to others that should not be there. You know, Gary said something this morning. Said he bought a new tie and he carried the kids in and they got something on his tie. First thing. Now see, that ain't pleasant, is it? That ain't no good. If he can't get it off, he probably won't wear that tie much, because other people can see it and they'll say, look at that Gary. He's wearing a tie with a dirty spot on it. That's right, ain't it? You'd be ashamed. Be embarrassed. Everybody'd say, look, he ain't even caring about nothing. He just come in here with a spot on his tie. Well, that's what it is. You see what I'm talking about? It's something that's visible to others that shouldn't be there. It's something that causes us shame. It's something that degrades us or diminishes our influence, our reputation, for good. It's something that others see that ruins or lessens our reputation and influence as a Christian. And a spot, something that's not there by nature, but has been caused by something else, disease or bad associations. Well, people ain't worrying about it nowadays, are they? They're spotting their body all over. Tattoos and piercings and stuff. I mean, my goodness. We can have spots on our heart by the things on which we set our affections. See? We can have spots on our heart by the things that we allow our heart to be attached to that's not of God, but of this world. You better not love things of this world. Better try. I'm telling you, to keep your heart from falling in love with things of this world. Whatever it is, you better hold it loosely. Better not let your heart attach itself to it. We can have spots on our mind and the way we think and reason. Spots, things that are not right, things that shouldn't be there. You got anything in your mind that shouldn't be there. In your way of reasoning, your way of thinking. If we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, we'll begin to think and reason like they do and not even realize it. And do you know that even other Christians can tell that? They can tell when you're thinking worldly. When you're influenced by the world, by the way you're thinking. Well, know where you've been, know who you've been around, know what you've been watching, know what you've been putting into your mind, because it's coming right out. You can tell. Other people can tell. It's a spot. Pure religion is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. Now, that's what James said. So there you go. We can have spots that way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't want to stand before God with heaven and earth dissolved out from under our feet, with spots on our mind, on our heart, our reputation. That's a powerful thought if you'll think about it and you'll take that and meditate on it a little bit. The state of your mind right now, do you want to stand before God with all that's going on in your mind right now? Do you want to be found of Him with your heart wandering, with your heart torn between the things of God and some worldly temptation, some worldly enticement, some worldly entanglement? No. No, you don't. But we dawdle along thinking, well, He ain't coming right now. I'll fix this later. I'll straighten this out. Better not do that. We're to be diligent, to be blameless, unblameable, without fault, innocent, not meriting censure or blame. We don't deserve, can't justly be blamed. Unblameable, that's what I mean. That's one of the requirements now for a pastor too. You can't be blameable. That means people can't be rightly accusing you of wrong. Now, people may accuse you of wrong, but they accused Jesus of wrong. They were false witnesses. But if they can come and they got the goods, man, that's bad. We're supposed to be found of Him unblameable. Unblameable. We're to walk circumspectly. You know, that's what righteousness is treating other people right. I mean, it's morality. It's the moral law. It's putting others before yourself. It's making sure you don't violate somebody else in doing what you got to do. Or doing what you want to do. You walk where you're not blamable. Nobody can say, he did me wrong. She did me wrong. You don't want to be found of God where somebody can say that about you. Do right. Treat people right. Make sure, go beyond. Why would you not, he said to the church at Corinth, why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? If you're a Christian, if you're real, why don't you just let them defraud you and let it go? Why, you got to fight for your rights and fight to defend yourself and make sure they get what's coming to them. What are you, a Christian, and you're doing that? That's what that was about, see? No. Unblameable. It's not a big thing. It's not, grace is not involved if you do wrong and suffer for it. But if you do right and suffer for it, then that, and you do suffer well, I mean, you maintain your testimony, then that's grace at work. That's what the Bible teaches us. We ought to strive to make sure that our sins have been forgiven and we're not guilty before God or others. And we should strive to make sure that no one has aught against us. That's right. There's sometimes people accuse us of things and they imagine, or somebody lied to them and they've got all this aught against us. But, you know, what do you do about that? You know? If I haven't done anything to them, how am I going to make it right? But now if I have and they got aught against me, then it's on me to get it right. And I better do it. God doesn't, you know, it says this, we ought to strive to make sure that nobody has aught against us. And Jesus said about that, he said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Pretty simple instructions there. If you know you got something going on, and somebody's got something against you, don't come to the altar with your gift. Don't be coming trying to sacrifice, give to God. He said, I won't accept it until you go get it right with them. Go straighten out what you did that he's got all against you. Fix it. Just plain old reasonable righteousness is what it is. God doesn't take our part when we assume an attitude of indifference toward what other people think of us or blame us for. When we say, I don't care if that's what they want to be. Don't expect God to take your part. That's right. And you better hope and pray that you're not found of him in that state of mind. We're to be found of him blameless. That's the way you want to be found when he comes. That means we got to live every day right. Better not go to bed at night if we know somebody's got aught against us and there's a just cause for it. Or even if there's not a just cause and you can fix it some way, you better go ahead and do it. Better try to get it straightened out. We should live and conduct ourselves in such a way as to not create situations where we're at fault. You can mess around and be dumb and make stupid choices and careless, and you can get yourself in fixes in situations where you can't get it straightened out. I know where there's some, and these people come to you with all these questions. Well, what do I do? Man, I ain't got no idea. I can't tell you what is right to do because you've got yourself in such a position here that there ain't no right. Whatever you do is not right. You can do that. So you better be careful. We'll live and conduct ourselves in a way we don't create these situations where we're at fault and there's no way to remedy it. Try to be blameless, we got to walk wisely and not in foolishness and vanity. You got to walk wisely and be careful and think about what you're doing. Think. Don't just go around carelessly and mindlessly and just blurting out things and just doing things and just getting yourself in messes that are very hard to fix. We're to beware lest we be led away with the error of the wicked. Beware unless we get deceived, lest we believe something that's not true. You don't want to be found that way, messed up because you believe something that wasn't true about somebody, about God, about what's true and false and what's right and wrong. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 on down there says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now the error of the wicked is that when they're, is that they're not going to prepare for the end of things. That's their big error. They're not going to prepare. They're just going to live life and have fun and get gain and please themselves and not worry about it until it's too late. Don't you be overtaken in the error of the wicked. It's pretty simple to understand there. Lest we be led away with the error of the wicked. They're not going to prepare because they don't believe it's going to happen. And since they, or at least they don't believe it's going to happen soon. A lot of them, that's what I was talking about this morning. I talk to people and they all say, well, I believe in God. And, you know, they want to assure you that they believe in God now. They don't live right, but they believe in God. Well, most everybody believes it's going to end some way. You know, I see these polls every once in a while in the news and stuff, and that's everybody in all the people on earth believe it's going to end one way or another. They know it can't go on. But the thing is, they think an asteroid's going to hit us, or the global warming's going to kill us, or something else, you know. They've got all these crazy ideas about it. But they think it's going to happen, but not now. So let's eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah, let's have fun. Let's enjoy life. And since they don't believe it's going to happen, or that it's not going to happen soon, they'll not be concerned about peace with God, about spots, or about their guilt of their sin. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. That's how we're to prepare. In chapter 3, here, verse 18 on down there, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, the more that we can learn about Jesus here and now, the better it'll be for us when we finally look at him in the face. You better learn all you can about him now. Now's the preparation. Now's when you're getting your knowledge of him. Better learn all you can, so that when you see him, it'll be a wonderful, pleasant experience. Yes, sir. And that, the more he owns of us, the more comfortable we'll be when we see his eyes upon us in his very presence. You understand that? The more he owns of us, the more comfortable we're going to be when we're standing before him. If you're hiding things here, you'll be ashamed. You would be ashamed before his eyes. You ought to realize he's looking right now. You ought to realize right now that he knows your thoughts far off. Like I said this morning, he knows you're down, sitting, you're up, rising. He knows all about you. And he knew about you before you was ever born. So, ain't no need in trying to hide nothing. Why don't you just be open with him and be honest? And keep yourself clean before him. We should begin giving him glory now, so that when forever begins in the new heaven and the new earth, it'll only be a continuation of what we already do. I believe that's kind of how it's going to be. I believe you learn how to do it here, and when you get to heaven, it's no new thing. You don't go through boot camp in heaven. You don't go through any training up there. There's not any great big change in your spiritual state when you get there. Whatsoever's holy, let him be holy still. Whatsoever's filthy, let him be filthy still. There's not a great change in your being from here to there. You're to grow here in the knowledge and understanding the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow here. Learn about him here. And then when you get there, you'll know him. Diligently prepare. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older and everything and all of that. I don't know what it is, but I do. I think I do. I think he's getting ready to come. And I just feel more of an urgency in my own spirit and soul. I do. I feel more pressed to draw closer to God, to leave off the world a little more, to read more of his word and study more and think more on the things of God and the word of God and to learn more. I just feel more urgently that I need to do that. I think we ought to all feel that way. Yes, sir. These are days when we need the Lord. And we need to be found before him. Without spot, faultless, and ready to meet him. All right. Well, won't you stand and we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll... We've had a good service. I'm thankful. Thankful for everybody here. I'm thankful for the songs. Pray for one another. And be thankful for one another. Encourage one another. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's the way it is. Father, thank you for the service. Thank you for the word of God. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts and minds. Lord, we'd think on these things and not just think, but do. I pray you'd help us to prepare ourselves to meet you like a bride would prepare herself for her wedding. Lord, help us to be mindful of what we look like to him. Lord, of the fragrance that our life is putting off before him. Help us, Lord, to realize these things and to prepare our hearts and our minds and to keep them pure. Lord, we need to be reminded of this, and I do. And I pray you'd help me in the days to come to be more alert about these things and more busy and diligent about preparing. Lord, bless the time of fellowship now and dismiss us, Lord, in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.